This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed. Purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed. Give a little of yourself.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Fiqh of Zakah. This topic, the Fiqh of Zakah itself, is seen as a very important topic around the world, especially for the Muslims. Now many of you say, why? We know all about Zakah, we've read all about it, 2.5% for this, 5% for this. Well, if you know that over 38 places in the Qur'an, Zakah is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its own sense. Over 28 places in the Qur'an, Zakah is mentioned with prayer. We know that all of the Muslims around the world, when it comes to Ramadan especially, they look at Zakah. They have problems in calculating Zakah. They want to look at what is Zakah obligatory upon them, upon their family, upon their offspring. To discuss this and more, we have with us Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Jameel, and jazakallahu khairan.
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. When we look at the topic of Zakah, I mentioned very briefly the importance of Zakah. Truly, it is an important topic for the Muslim, Sheikh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Indeed, zakah is not just an important topic, rather it is the third pillar of the deen. In the sound hadith in which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, بني الإسلام على خمس, or Islam is built on five pillars. The third pillar was to give Zakah, to pay the due zakah to those who are entitled for it. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to testify that there is no God to be worshipped but Allah, to offer the five daily prayers, to give zakah, to fast during the month of Ramadan, and to perform hajj if he can afford its means. Unfortunately, because vast majority of the ummah are either poor or under poverty line, so not too many people really worry about the third pillar. They rather worry about whether they're entitled to receive a zakah fund or not. But many of us do not understand that things can change overnight. Somebody can start a business or inherit some wealth or get a good job. Then by the end of the year, he has what's called a nisab. Mm-hmm. So he's entitled to pay zakah. So since it is a very important topic of our deen, everybody must be aware of it. Yes, there are certain things that we will discuss. Does not concern Jameel because you're not a farmer. Mm-hmm. Does not concern me because I'm not a businessman. Or others who are not in the livestock business. But it is very important to have an idea. Then if this part concerns you, then you should pay more attention to it. And as we know that business people, particularly successful business people, they tend to have advisors, mm-hmm. in public relations, in business advisors, in planning, etc. So why not have a religious advisor if you have such wealth, which is in millions? Mm-hmm. Many people brag about, I cannot even count my wealth. Mm-hmm. I have heard somebody who is extremely wealthy, a multi-millionaire, when he was asked about his wealth, he said, I don't know how much is it, because I cannot count it. You know what does it mean? It signifies that the person does not pay his zakah. Because if you are one of those who pay their regular zakah, you must keep record. You must understand how much in your wealth is entitled for zakah. You cannot say, I don't know, how much do I own. So this is very important to bring into light the importance and the significance of paying zakah, because when we come to give the linguistic definition of the term zakah, you'll be amazed.
Okay, okay. Let's start at the beginning then. Okay, zakah itself, it's a term which is misused sometimes. And unfortunately, sometimes it's even abused by Muslims. Now, what is zakah linguistically, Sheikh? What do we see as this word zakah, Sheikh?
Every term in our religion has a linguistic definition, which is its origin, and an applied definition. And the applied definition would not differ much than the linguistic definition. Rather, it would be derived from it. Mm-hmm. The word zakah literally means al-ziyada wa-nama. As you just said, it's greatly misunderstood. Mm. When it comes to the zakah time, people are frightened and scared because I'm going to deduct, withdraw from my account some money to give it to others, to the poor, to the needy. So they think it's a decrease. Rather, the literal linguistic meaning of the word zakah, it's an increase.
Subhanallah.
It's growth and fostering. In Arabic, they say zaka zar'u wa nama, when the vegetations or the fruits or the plants grow up, so that it increased in size, in quantity. So zakah literally means an increase, and basically, it provides a similar meaning in its religious or applied meaning. Zakah is the third pillar of the deen, which is a specific amount of money to be taken from the rich and to be given to the poor. So it is the right of the poor, you're not doing anyone any favor.
So that myth about me losing money by giving zakah, you know, people get scared, and we all calculate the zakah, we say, okay, we try to persuade ourselves, unfortunately, that, you know, we've got enough, but really we do have enough, as you know. But we get scared. We think, oh, that's it. You know, our provision is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking away from us. This is an incorrect way of looking at it.
That's why we began by defining the zakah literally. Because only when you get to understand the concept of zakah, you would not hesitate to give extra. You would not hesitate to tell your accountant, don't worry about it. If there is any confusion, give extra. Stay in the safe side. Because in one hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has slaughtered a sheep, and he let Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, distribute it upon the poor. Then when he returned home, he asked her, what did she do? She said, it's all gone except for the arm or the shank. This is the part which Prophet Muhammad used to desire most of the sheep. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not worry about what part was saved for him. Rather, he said, nay, O Aisha, rather, it's all been saved except for the part which you saved for us. Whatever you gave the poor, this is our saving. It's all been saved. And the part which you saved for us, this is what we're going to eat, digest and excrete. بَلْ بَقِيَ كُلُّهَا وَلَمْ يَذْهَبْ إِلَّا الْكَتِفِ. So, whenever one is about to calculate his zakah, make sure not just remain in the safe side, give it with pleasure. Give it with delight and happiness. Aisha, the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her, whenever, after the Prophet's demise, whenever somebody would come to receive a charity from her, she would put a perfume on it. And she would say, مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ جَاءَ يَحْمِلُ زَادِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. She would welcome the beggar and the poor because she believed that this is the person who came to transfer her load and provision from this life into the hereafter. Welcome to the one who came to carry my provision to the hereafter. So only when we come to understand this concept and where the zakah is coming from, one will be very happy while he is giving the zakah. And he will treat the poor and those who are entitled for the zakah, will treat them with the due respect.
So from this what I can take, Sheikh, what you're trying to say, and correct me here, is that really the person who's giving the zakah, he's actually holding on to this for the person who owns it, the right guided person, the person who owns this property?
Well, this is how it works. The position and the wealth of the rich is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In it, there is a right of some other people, the poor. So, الزَّكَاةُ حَقُّ الْفَقِيرِ. It is the right of the poor in the wealth of the rich people. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, inform them that Allah has ordained a zakah on them to be taken from the rich of them and to be given to the poor of them. Every time there is a poor person who is struggling to make it, who is hardly surviving, it is simply because there is some rich individual did not pay his due. There is a natural equilibrium that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this universe. If everybody carries out what Allah the Almighty wanted from him, then everything will be in peace. Everybody will live in happiness. You know, nowadays when we talk about the ozone, we talk about some disturbance in the climate, it is simply because we are creating that. We're building up some disturbance over years by consuming things that we should not be consuming, by the exhaust, by the smoke, by... So, same thing, same mechanism. When the rich people are not doing their job and paying their zakat dues, the zakat dues by itself is sufficient to cover all the needs of the needy ones.
So, now I've got it. This is a really good place to take a break. But just before we do take that break, let's just recap. Basically, this is something that every rich person knows that part of his wealth, to purify his wealth, has to be given. This is something that the poor person needs to survive. And a society, what you're telling the Sheikh, a society will live in peace and harmony. Everybody will live in an equitable state if only we, the people with the money who pass this nisab, give this money.
Absolutely true. And as we go by, we will find out the hikmah of Allah the Almighty and His divine wisdom in stating the zakah rate, in particular wealth, from currency to gold and silver to cattle to livestock, etc., so that it will be taken from the same wealth. For instance, if it is a livestock, to be taken as cattle, sheep, goat, etc., so that the poor, when he sees the wealth of the wealthy people, would not envy them, because he has a right in that. So he prays for them with barakah and a blessing. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in verse number 103 of Surah At-Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Listen carefully. خُذْ أو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, take, this is the right of the poor, مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, from their wealth and position, which is zakatable, which will be explained in details over the next few episodes. Take the sadaqah, min amwalihim, from the rich sadaqah, charity. Why? Tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha, in order to purify them with it and to sanctify them as well. So the zakah works both ways. It helps the poor and it purifies the rich's wealth, and also gives him a blessing and an increase in his wealth and in himself.
Jazakallah khair. As you can see, we've come to a good point to take a break. We're speaking about zakah, the third pillar of Islam. Please stay with us. We're going to go to a short break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give a little of yourself, cure your greed, purify your wealth.
Huda TV is launching a new website for you, your family and friends. Everyone. A new look, top-level designs and better technology. You will be able to ping Hoda TV's new website and read all our articles, surf our video archives, chat live on Hoda's forum, vote, support our programs, and give us your suggestions or criticisms. We welcome your thoughts. We strive to please all our viewers worldwide. Hoda, a light in every home.
So much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the fiqh of zakah. Before, in the previous segment, we were speaking about the zakah itself. What does it entail? What is a zakah? What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to us about this? We were joined by Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sheikh, you left on a very poignant point. I didn't want to go for a break, but a very important point. And you were speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that khud, take okay, from their sadaqah. Now, before we go and look into this detail, a question always comes. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really telling us, rulings-wise, regarding zakah, Shaykh?
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala nabihi wa mustafa, thumma amma ba'd. Az-zakah, or alms given in Islam, is fard. The word fard means it is mandatory. So it's not something that's optional, that if you offer it and if you give it, then you're a cool guy, and if you don't, then there is no blame on you. No. It is one of the means of determining the faith, the religious commitment, maintain the Islam of a person, or else. We find, as you mentioned in your intro, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the zakah in the Qur'an repeatedly, at least 20 times along with the salah, joined together. For instance, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in verse number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and establish the prayers and give the zakah. And that's why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, I'm going to fight against any person who makes any distinction between the salah and the zakah. They're joined together in many, many verses. So as zakah is a fard, in the hadith which we mentioned in the beginning of the program, the Prophet ﷺ said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. The third pillar is wa'ita'i zakah, and given the mandatory zakah. Also in verse number 103 of Surah At-Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. So this is a command that you must carry out the mission of taking the zakah dues from the rich and distribute it upon those who are entitled for it or the poor.
Okay, now you've said two words there. You said sadaqah in one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then the zakah comes in other verses. Now,
I'm glad you brought this up.
Where do we bring that together?
I'm really glad you brought this up, because many people are confused between the term sadaqah and zakah, to the extent that some people are very generous in giving any charity. In the beginning of Ramadan, they distribute food, sweet and candy, and in Eids, in the beginning of the scholastic year. But they don't pay zakah. When you ask them, they say, well, I'm giving enough. I sponsor orphans, I build schools, I build the masajid. Cool, this is all fine and nice, but you have to understand that this is all voluntary. What's mandatory is the zakah. So the term sadaqah is a general word which means charity. Mutasaddiq is a charitable person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So this verse covers, in general, every person who gives any charity. Every charity you give is similar to one who plants or sows one single grain of corn, for instance. Then it grows up to produce a corn stick carrying in each ear of corn 100 more grains. So one grain produces 100. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a parable that one single charity will earn the profit and will foster more profit to be 100 times more. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha, and Allah gives and multiplies the reward whomever He wills, more than that and beyond that. And Allah is wasi'un alim. He encompasses all the needs of His servants, and He is well aware and all knowing of what we do. So now, as-sadaqah covers the voluntary charity and the mandatory one. But when we say zakah, then it is referring to the mandatory part, whether in wealth, or sadaqat al-fitr, or the zakah on cattle, trades and goods, stuff like that. If you remember a hadith which you quoted, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he deployed him to Yemen, and he gave him the map, how to go about preaching Islam. He said, inform them about the oneness of Allah. And if they respond to that, then inform them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordained 5 daily prayers on them. And if they agree to that, then take them to the next step, that inform them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained zakah on them to be taken from the rich. He did not say zakah, he said sadaqah. Okay, so the word sadaqah in this hadith. And the word sadaqah of Surah At-Tawbah 103, verse number 103, refers to the specific sadaqah which is mandatory, the zakah.
So now we're going, there's a very good clarification, especially for myself, to understand where these two fit in. And for our brothers and sisters, now we can look at the rulings again. So you said, for example, that this sadaqah is voluntary, but the zakah now, this is farz, this is obligatory upon us.
Correct.
Okay.
So and that means, you may be the most generous person on earth. You may be donating half of your wealth in good causes. But if you're not paying your zakah, that would not avail you an aught against the warning, the severe warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released against those who do not pay their zakah. Let me make it much easier and simpler for you to, for everybody to understand. What if somebody prays all night long, the night prayer, until his feet swim, but he doesn't pray the fard? How good is that?
Sounds very familiar, that does actually, very familiar.
How good is that? That doesn't make any sense. Okay? So we have to understand that the zakah, you have to be very, very careful with it. When you give any charity, extra or voluntary charity, which is highly recommended, you'll be rewarded for that, definitely. It will cause your wealth to increase. It will protect you and your family from calamities, diseases, and ailments, etc. All of the virtues of sadaqah, which you all know. But when it comes to the zakah, in addition to that, it's a must.
So what about somebody now who, how should we say, he makes sure he does not pay? He says, look, I don't need to pay, you just spoke about it, but you ask him, you tell him, brother, this is something that's mandatory upon you, but he moves away. He abstains from this. What position is he in terms of the Sharia, the Islamic law? What position does he play?
Well, you made it easy for me because I was going to explain explain the difference between two different categories of those who do not pay the zakah, similar to the salah or the prayer. There is one who denies its mandate. He says, I'm not going to pay. I pay enough voluntary charity. I don't think that there should be any particular amount of money that's due upon me to give it to the poor. Such person denied the mandate of the zakah. So he denied what Allah stated in the Quran and in the sound traditions of Prophet Muhammad. So he is murtad. Murtad means he turned away from Islam. Such people, as the people who refused to give the zakah right after the demise of the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tell us about this story. Very interesting. What happened to
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the soft-hearted companion and the best companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, led the campaign of fighting against them. Umar ibn Khattab was a little confused and he said, how can you fight against people who say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah? And they pray. They pray regularly. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu ardah said, by Allah, لو منعوني عناقا. عناقا is a female goat which is not even 1 year old. لو منعوني عناقا كانوا يؤدونها للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقاتلتهم عليها. If they stop paying anything that they used to pay at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, since mandatory and it is the right of the poor, even if it is as little as anaqan. In another narration, iqalan. The iqal is the rope that ties the camel, which is very insignificant. So whether it's anaq or iqal, anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated and mandated, any person stops fulfilling this mandate, then I shall fight against them. And he convinced Umar ibn Khattab and all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uthman and Ali and others, and the 10 heavenly bound companions. So they all agreed, and he waged a war against those who stopped paying the zakah, which is known as Hurub al-Riddah, war against apostates, those who turned away from Islam simply for not paying the zakah. This is one category. The second category, if somebody says, well, I know that it's a must and everything, but he's a little miser. He's tied up. He doesn't even give any charity, the voluntary charity. His family are having trouble with him paying their tuitions and their school supplies and all of that. Such person is not a kafir. He's not a murtad. He did not deny its mandate. But will we say, okay, you're fine because you're miser and you don't want to pay it, it's up to you as long as you believe in it? No, obviously not. In this case, we will have to force him to pay it. Not we, that's you and me, the state, the Muslim state. It is similar to if you live in the West, for instance, let's say in America, Uncle Sam's tax, if you don't pay it, it will not be only taken, you will be arrested, and you will be tried, you will be jailed, etc. This is a zakah that is mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not much. In America, how much tax you pay? If you're a doctor, for instance, and you make like $300,000-$400,000 a year, you pay 35 and up percent. Wow. So for each 100,000, that is 35,000 or even more.
Wow.
Is taken out of your money annually, even before you get your paycheck. In Islam, the zakah rate, as we will get to know, is only 2.5%, what is known as rub'ul ushr. Rub'ul ushr, you know what it means? For each 1,000, you only pay 2.5. If it is euro or dollars, then it's 2.5 of whatever currency you're dealing with. Very little. But for the poor, it accumulates and it builds up. It is very, very significant. It can save the life of those who are struggling to survive.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Mohammed, for all your explanations. A very good lesson for us that zakah is not something simple, something that we see written as the five pillars and something that we understand. It's something that we've got to look into, something we've got to investigate. It affects all of us. And that's what we're hoping to do in this program of Fiqh of Zakah. I hope you join me next time on this episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Cure your greed, purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little love yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed.